Morning, everyone. Good to see you. It's really important that we pray for, as we talk about vision for us as a church, it's really important that we remember our wider partners. We are a church that partners with people all around the world, and we have a view for Sheffield, obviously, and we want to see Sheffield transformed, the kingdom of God in Sheffield as in heaven, but we also have a view that is worldwide, and we're part of God's wider church around the world. And that's really, really important because the church around the world has a lot to teach us as well. So it's really important that we partner with what God is doing in other parts of the world. And I'll be able to hopefully be able to talk to you a little bit about that later on today, about one of my recent trips to see God's church around the world. But what we're doing today, hopefully you know that we've been talking about some of the vision stuff that we've been thinking about for this year, what it means to be a follower of Jesus in this church for this year and what we're going after. And remember that headline, if you just put that first slide up please, Brian. Multiplying healthy disciples, transforming community. Or it could be multiplying healthy disciples that transform community. So we're looking at all those things. I'm not going to go over it again. You probably, if you've been to the last few services, you hopefully have heard me talk about this. All the talks, all the information is on the website. Please, if you haven't heard me or Zach talk about it, please do go back over it. But I don't want to repeat myself again today with that. I am going to just highlight a couple of things before we talk about what it means to be part of this church, what it means to commit to be part of this church. So hopefully that'll be clear as we go on. So our destination, just to remind us, our destination is that we want to be a church that sees people grow in their relationship with Jesus. That's what being a healthy disciple is. That we ourselves become like that, but we also are a church that includes new people who don't yet know Jesus to become followers of him and become healthy disciples themselves. That's the destination. We've talked about it being on a journey. If we're going to get to somewhere, that's the place we want to get to. So in a year's time, 2 years' time, 3 years' time, we want to see more healthy disciples. You and me, more healthy in our walk with Jesus. We want that, don't we? We don't just want to go, well, I've said yes to Jesus, I'm okay now, I'll just come along to church and that'll be it. We want to grow and be transformed, don't we? I do. I know there's areas of my life that aren't under the lordship of Christ yet. And I want that to be different. I want to change. Because I know that as I submit to his lordship, then his power will be made perfect in my weakness. And he will transform me. And he will use me and work through me. This is what we're going after as a church. We're going after transformation. We're not just happy with where we're at. We're going after the fullness of all that God wants for us as his people. And as we do that, then we will see transformed community. We'll see community around us being transformed. Not because of anything special about us, but because as we become more like Jesus, together we look like Jesus. As we become more like him, people get attracted to him in us. People, we do the things that Jesus did. And remember that Luke 4 mandate. Luke 4, 18 to 19, where Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me. Well, he says that about you and me. The Spirit of the Lord is on us now. We carry on the work that Jesus did. As my Father sent me, so I send you. That's us. We now have that Luke 4 mandate. He has anointed us to proclaim good news to the poor. He's anointed us to proclaim freedom to the prisoners. He's anointed us to bring recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. This is our mandate as the people of God, to do those things. So, that's what we're about, the destination, multiplying healthy disciples, transforming communities. We've just put up that next slide, Brian, please. This is just a little reminder of that, the vision, the place we want to get to, and then the values are how we behave on the way in order to keep on the journey, to get there. Because if we don't have certain values, then we won't reach that place. And these are the most important things, I think, the values, that we choose to go together. We go, we're on the move, we go together, we're Jesus-centered, and we're for the marginalized. And again, there was a whole talk on this that Zach did, and I've done a little bit of talking about it. But just to say, for the marginalized means anyone who is excluded from the life of heaven, from the things of God, for whatever reason, we are a church that will go after going against those things which oppress people, which stop people coming into the kingdom of the things of God, and also bringing the things of life. So it is things like justice issues. It is things like poverty, which we do as a church. We do that because those things marginalize people and stop them entering into the full life of God. So we're for the marginalized. Vehicles are less important. They're just the way, the means at the moment by which we try and do those things. So we do communities and we do different connections. I'm not going to go into that again. Like I say, please do go back over the talks. But that is what we are about. Going together, Jesus-centered, for the marginalized. Just one little extra thing on for the marginalized. There's a particular focus in that, what I've said about being for the marginalized, that with FCT, the Food and Community Trust. You know, hopefully, by now, that the Food and Community Trust is a separate charity now. It was born out of us. It was a work of God in and through us over many years. Restore Ministries, for those of you who remember that, when we used to call it Restore Ministries. Now it's Food and Community Trust. And by the grace of God, by what God has done in that work, it has grown and grown and grown. There are people in this room who work now for Food and Community Trust. There are plenty of people in this room who volunteer for Food and Community Trust. And it's a blessing of what God has done that we have had to, I see it like planting a church. We've planted a new charity that is now continuing this work that God called us to do, which is for the marginalized. And whilst it is a separate charity, we will continue to partner with this charity and continue to do this work for the marginalized in partnership with Food and Community Trust. The reason we needed to plant it is because the work has grown beyond who we are here. And there's a fantastic team at Food and Community Trust that are doing this work, and it is an absolute privilege for us as a church to see what God is doing there and to continue partnering with them. But that is a particular focus for us as a church, to partner with that work. And then in the broader sense of for the marginalized, poverty, I've talked about poverty before, but I just want to remind us, when we talk about poverty, which for me, my trip with Tear Fund that I had earlier on in the year really helped me to crystallize what I understand poverty to be. And poverty I understand to be poverty of physical poverty, the poverty we often think about when we talk about poverty, which is financial, where there's a lack in people, a lack of things which are just necessities in life, which every person should be able to have. And then there's poverty of relationship, friendships, and there's poverty, spiritual poverty, poverty with God. And we will go after all three aspects of poverty. So when we do things in this church, it's to alleviate those three aspects of poverty. Physical, relational, that's why we do community. One of the exciting things that we've just got involved with is something called Red Frogs, which is a work with students. And we've been given a student accommodation where we can go in, and the aim is to combat the loneliness that many students feel these days. There's an epidemic of loneliness amongst students you go into these accommodation blocks, and they're like little hotels, which may seem like great. They've all got their own rooms, their own suite, and all that kind of thing. But they're isolated, these people. They're so isolated, these students. They're going away from home for the first time in their life, and they're on their own. And we've been given this opportunity to combat the poverty of loneliness and to go in, and all we do is every 2 weeks go in, cook pancakes, offer them, do quizzes. We've just started doing it, but the take-up has been great. We're building up relationship with these students, and we get the chance to, if they ask us, why are you doing this? We get to say, well, we're a church. God loves you. He believes in you. And he doesn't want you to be, he wants you to have good relationships. So that's one example, if you like, of where we're going after combating poverty in that sense. There's loads we could talk about. Connect Cafe, hopefully you all know about, that Zach leads, which is a way of helping people, who guests who come to Food Bank, to also be able to then find community and a place of belonging and an opportunity to have spiritual conversations if they want. These are all, there's loads of stuff. I wish I had more time to talk about it, but I'm really excited by all the things we're doing, but we want to press into more. We want to go after more. One of the things that I put in the letter, hopefully you all got a letter from me about a week ago. If you don't get these letters, please have a word with Liz at the end, because she'll make sure you're put on that list. Because every now and then I will send out a letter. It was a rather long one, I apologize, but it was a lot to say. And hopefully that letter explains some of the things we're doing. But in that letter I also said, maybe you have ideas. Maybe you have ideas for how we can go after these things. Just because we've come up with, you know, we as a team have said, well, we're going to do Red Frog, so we're going to do Connect Cafe, doesn't mean that's the end of all that God wants to do through us. You may be here because you have something that God is birthing in you that you want to see happen that goes after these things. Please, if you have those things birthing within you or these little things going inside you, don't sit on them. Come and talk to us about it. We will do all we can to bless what God is speaking to you about, and to help you go after those things. Remember, we do this together. It's not just about people from the front talking about things and doing things. It never has been in this church. All the things that go on have been so run by people who are give their time and their energy to all the things that we do. Okay. I don't really want to say much more about that, like I say, because it's already been said in previous talks. What I want you to do this morning, what I want us to do this morning, is to think about what might be your next steps, what might be our next steps, and it might be different for different people. What would it mean for you to be a part of this church? What does it mean for you to be a part of this church? What does it mean for you to help us travel towards this destination of multiplying healthy disciples, transforming community? It may mean that you go, well, I'm involved in this. I think I should carry on being involved in this. That's fine. But what I want us to do is to pause and reflect and not just carry on doing the same thing or not doing something and not actually, before God, going, what are you saying to me, God? What is it that you want me to do here, to be part of this church? One of the key things that we've been thinking about is, if you just put the next slide on, please, Brian. At the end of this service, there'll be a chance for you to come and receive a little jigsaw piece and to take home. The team this last week have painstakingly put magnetic strips on the back of them. Highland has painstakingly put magnetic strips on the back of them, and Sam, so that you can stick it on your fridge. And it's just a little symbol, but it's saying you are a piece of the bigger picture. Everyone who comes here, I believe God brings everyone who decides to come to this church, who decides to be part of this church, for a reason. And the picture isn't complete without the piece that you bring. So I would like you, at the end of the service, and we'll talk about this a little bit more, to take one of those pieces and stick it on your fridge and just use it as a prompt. Every time you pass it, every time you get the milk out, God, what is my piece? What are you calling me to do to be part of this church? And like I say, many of you are already doing the piece that you should be doing. But it's good for us to pause and just ask God again, what is it that you're calling me to do to be part of this bigger picture? How are you connected and involved? What does it mean for you to give financially to the church? If you are part of this church, there are many people, lots of people, which I'm very grateful for. Do you know that I've probably given, I think I've only ever given one giving talk in this church in 10 years of me being here. I've only been senior leader for 4 years, but I've given one giving talk. God has been so great, generous. Our giving has, through lockdown and everything, has either stayed level or it's just started going up a little bit in the last year. Giving from people in the church to the church. I'm so grateful for what God does through you in the way that you give generously to the church. Please, can I encourage you at this point in our time to again reflect with God? What are you saying? Is it to keep the same? Is it to increase my giving? Is it to start giving if you're not giving, if you feel you're part of this church? Hopefully you don't feel like I talk about this too much, but it is important that we, before God, ask him what he's saying to us on this. So what does it mean to be a part of the church? What is your piece of the jigsaw? How can I serve? How can I be part of this vision? And how can I give to this vision to help resource what's happening? And you each were given a form. That again is something that we would love you to take home, that Liz has done this last week, where you can put it there. These are the values on the that you can put up somewhere that's visible. Go together, be Jesus-centered, be for the marginalized, and what would that mean? And there's some space where you might, if God speaks to you or you're reflecting, you might want to write some things in that place. This is what God's saying to me. I know how easy it is to go back into the fullness of life and everything when we go away from church, but can I encourage you, please, in the time, just to put a little bit of time, just to do that and to think through what God might be saying to you. What are the next steps for you? On that form as well, there's links to a page where you can take next steps to be involved. So there's a QR code at the bottom, or there's a web address that you can put in, which take you to our website. And it takes you to a page where there's more information. There's links to the vision talks. There's links to how you can give. There's links to how you can serve. It's all there. If you just show the next slide, please, Brian. This is a screenshot of where you need to go on the website. Liz, you won't have seen that I've changed this. I've changed it to be part of the bigger picture. Oh, I know. So you can click on be part of the bigger picture, because it links in with the jigsaw thing. And then you'll see there's all the different things you can click on there. Please do go to there. Please do have a look. Please do think what it means for you to be part of the bigger picture. Okay, we will be able to respond at the end of the service. We'll be able to take the piece of jigsaw. We'll be able to just say before God what we want to say before him. We'll have space for us to hear what he's saying. Now, all what I've said, I believe is important. I wouldn't say it if I didn't think it was important, but it comes second to what I'm going to say next. Okay? I am really keen that we, before God, consider what it means to be part of this church. But I am more keen that before we commit to this church or any church, we, before Jesus, say, what does it mean to commit to you? What does it mean to commit to Jesus? It's possible, I think, to commit to church and to neglect actually our relationship with Jesus, because there's things that church can give us that are good, but that can become more important than actually our relationship with Jesus. So if you just put the next slide on, please, Brian. The Jesus-centered, for me, is the most important thing we are going after. Everything else flows from that. Everything else flows from that. All the other stuff is important. But if we do not learn how to press in to our walk with Jesus, we will not become all that God's called us to be. And if I'm really honest, I think the church, our church, the church in the West, needs to rediscover again what it means to follow Jesus. Now, these are big generalizations. You know, I'm not speaking about anyone in particular. I'm more speaking about me and the challenge that God has given to me about my walk with Jesus, and how superficial it can be sometimes, how easy it can be for me to take the bits that are palatable, but to leave the bits where I'm challenged, or the bits where God is saying, I want you to now come under my lordship on this. Maybe there are things in your life where you know that following Jesus isn't Lord of yet. If you're not in heaven yet, then there are things that that you have not come under the lordship of Jesus with. It's a lifelong journey. You know that. I know that. And I think one of the things I'm really challenged about is the church in the West has lost its way a little bit, I think, in terms of why did we originally seek to follow Jesus? Why did you originally? What caught your heart in the first place? And what I want us to do today, amongst all the commitment to the church stuff, is ask ourselves again, Where am I at with Jesus? What does it mean for me to follow Jesus? Is he someone that I talk about on a Sunday but don't really give much thought to in the rest of my life? How much is Jesus Lord of my life? It's good for us to ask those questions. In the Methodist church, which I grew up in, we used to have to do Commitment Sunday. Some of you will know the prayer that Methodists do on a Commitment Sunday. It's put me to what you will, rank me with who you will, put me to suffering, put me to joy. And it's all these alternatives. And it's quite a strong prayer if you actually really mean it. It's good for us to, just before God, before Jesus, go, where am I actually really at with you? Are you the priority in my life before anything else? And only you and I can be honest before God on that one. We know really what's going on in our hearts. Be honest before him. All the stuff that we do, I believe in. It's really important. I want us to be on board with it. But it won't mean much if we are not a people who are journeying with Jesus and are on fire for him and have a passionate heart for him. Because we won't have much to give to people from that place. Good will be done. I'm not saying that you can't do good. But God needs a church that is reflecting, is passionate for him, is going after him, and is set on fire with love for him. Because that is what people will come and want to be part of. So everything we do needs to be infiltrated with people who have prioritized pursuing Jesus above anything else. And that's the call that I want to give to us today. And it's a hard one in some respects, because I know the areas of my life where I'm not giving myself to God. I know there's areas in my life where I have to submit to him. And he's calling me to do that. He's gentle, isn't he? He's kind. He's forgiving. He's graceful. We mess up and we come back. But is your heart's desire to pursue him above all else? Yes, you'll fail. Yes, I'll fail. But do you come back? Is your heart's desire, is that the posture of your heart towards him? We could do groups, we could do communities, we could do Sunday services, we could do it together, we could do good work in community, but if it's not done by a people passionate about Jesus and dependent on him, prepared to deny themselves for the sake of following him, knowing that we're sinful, that we need to confess our sins before him, that we're desperate for him, that we without him, we will go the wrong way. Knowing our need of forgiveness. If we're not that people, then we can't become all that he's called us to be. And we won't, more importantly, go through the cross and experience resurrection in all areas of our life. And that, I think, is what God calls us to experience. Matthew 16:24, if anyone wants to follow me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. You know, when we sung the words to that song, Christ Be Magnified, what do you think about it? Do you consider what those words mean? I find them very moving. I won't bow down to idols. I'll stand strong and worship you. If it puts me in the fire, I'll rejoice. Because you're there too. Do you just sing those words? I do sometimes. And then I go, what am I actually singing here? I won't be formed by feelings. I'll hold fast to what is true. If the cross brings transformation, then I'll be crucified with you. Really? Because death is just the doorway into resurrection life. Well, that's true. Absolutely true. But this is the call to us as his church. To deny ourselves, to go to the cross. And for each one of us, there'll be different things that God is calling us to go to the cross on. But is this our heart's desire? It's my heart's desire. Some of the people, I'm going to tell you a couple of stories in a moment of people I've encountered who are living life like this, who have really challenged me. But I really want us as a church, before we do any commitment to being part of this church, which is important, please do look at the forms, please do fill in the things, please do consider all that. But before all that, where are you at with Jesus? What's your commitment like to him? That's what matters more than anything. Everything else flows from that place. Everything else flows from that place. The church in the West is being called back to simple pursuit of Jesus. And this is where we need the wider church around the world to teach us again of what it means to really, truly follow him. Do we echo Paul's conviction? I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of the prize. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. That's from Philippians 3, verses 13 to 14. This is why we're doing this conference, Deeper Friendship with Jesus. It's a flag in the ground. This is what is the most important thing for us. Do you want deeper friendship with Jesus? Do you want to press into him? It will come with a cost. It means choosing not to do some things in order to be able to pursue him. I know that. And again, I stand here humbly, not as someone who's going, I've got it all sorted, why don't you get on board with where I'm at? I'm saying it, we need each other to help us do this. Are you on board for that? Are you on board for helping us? Like when I stumble, are you on board for helping me? When you stumble, are you on board for other people helping you? That's why we need to go together. That's why that other value is so important. Because we do need each other to do this. But it takes a heart desire, a heart choice within us to go, I'm pursuing you. And for however long we've followed Jesus, however long we've been going after him, there's never a time when it's not good to say, am I still on track? Because if you're anything like me, it's not a big change that happens in your life. It's little subtle changes. And before you know it, you've gone somewhere where you never thought you'd go. Or you've drifted just in your passion for Jesus because other things have taken over. And often they're good things, but they just take over. And it's good for us to just calibrate. I haven't done much sailing, but my father-in-law has taken us sailing a little bit sometimes. And I remember thinking once when we were sailing, you know, you've got to keep your hand on the rudder, on the tiller, because even if it just moves slightly, it doesn't seem like you're going much change in direction. But if you don't notice that you've moved slightly, before long you've gone in a very different direction. So you've got to have your hand on the tiller. What does it mean for you following Jesus to keep your hand on the tiller, to make sure that you're not going off a degree? So that one in time you get to a place and you go, how on earth did I end up here? God is calling his church back to simple pursuit of him and pursuing him above all else. This is the real commitment today. What does it mean to follow Jesus? Okay, I said I'm going to tell you two stories. Probably about 10 minutes probably for the children. The first story is in the UK. The second story is from a trip I've just done. So I'll just pause before I do the second story, just so Brian can stop the stream. But the first story, it's a story of two princes. Two princes, or tales of two princes. And these people, like I say, they've reminded me of what it means to follow Jesus, to pursue him above all else. And I've been so grateful that these people I've encountered these people. First prince, this is a person, over Easter, some of you may know that I had a little bit of a health scare. I got blue lighted into hospital with heart palpitations and I'm okay, it was fine, I think. but at the time, it was quite scary. And they thought I might have had a mini stroke. It's not about that really, it's more about my encounter in the hospital. But I just say that because it was over Easter weekend and it wasn't lost on me that it was over Easter weekend at Easter, strangely enough at Easter weekend. And I remember I went into, what's the hospital near you guys? I forgot the name. Northern, thank you. Went to Northern, and then the second time I went into Hallamshire the next day. And they did lots of scans on me. They did every scan possible on my brain. And then I had this one scan, and this was after lots of tests and not quite sure what's going on, where they test the blood flow from your heart, through your arteries to your brain to check that your blood flow is okay. Because they were, like I say, they were worried that I might have had a mini stroke. And I was, if I'm really honest, I was really scared. If anyone's been through hospital procedures, it's a scary time. When you don't know what's happening, I was quite scared. I didn't feel like this adult, confident adult. I didn't feel like a church leader who knew everything that was going on. I just felt actually like a little child again. Like, I don't know what's going on. It's quite scary. And I went in the middle of all this, I went into this room in the Hallamshire for this test. And it was an ultrasound test. And the person doing the test walked in. It was just me and him. And I sat and lay down on the couch, and he started to explain what he was going to do. And he said, "Hello, my name's Prince," which is an unusual name. I don't usually meet people called Prince. And he told me everything that was going to happen. He said what the test was for. And then he started saying things like, "And this amount of blood flows in a minute, and then this amount of blood flows in a day, and this amount of blood flows in a year. It's amazing. It's amazing what the Creator does." And I went, "What?" I said, "Why did you say that?" And he said, and I said, have you got faith?" And he said, yeah, I have faith. And basically he did the test, and then he said, "Can I pray with you?" So in the middle of that experience of, you know, being what's happening, God shows up. I mean, there's a whole talk there in terms of God shows up in unexpected places. And God, I think God actually really loves showing up in some of the most difficult places of life and giving us a treasure that we wouldn't have otherwise found. But I'm so thankful for that person who not only does the work of God in his job, you know, we do kingdom work in our jobs, but was also prepared to speak out and take a bit of a risk with me just to say that and then be used by God. Now, people who are pursuing Jesus, God will be able to use in that way. And I was so thankful. So that's the first prince that I met. And he was someone that I went, I want to be someone like that, who is so pursuing Jesus that he'll use me for opportunities like that. Where it flows out, it just flows because of who he is. Just those of you on the stream, I'm sorry, we're just going to have to stop the stream just for the moment, just for this next story. It's all about helping us, creating those spaces where we can help each other walk well towards Jesus. But the choice is with us is, am I going to go there? Am I going to pursue him above all else? And again, there's grace in it. We will take one step forward, we'll sometimes take two back. That's okay. What's your heart's posture? Are you committed to him? Do you want to say to him again, you before all else? I love the Passion Translation. Sometimes it's a little bit not good. But this is quite good. This is from Philippians 3. And it's the passage that I read, and Paul saying, I want to know Christ. But this is the Passion version. My passion is to be consumed with him and not cling to my own righteousness based in keeping the written law. My only righteousness will be his, based on the faithfulness of Jesus Christ, the very righteousness that comes from God. And I continually long to know the wonders of Jesus and to experience the overflowing power of his resurrection working in me. I will be one with him in his sufferings and become like him in his death. Only then will I be able to experience complete oneness with him in his resurrection from the realm of death. I admit that I haven't yet acquired the absolute fullness that I'm pursuing, but I run with passion into his abundance so that I may reach the purpose for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me to make me his own. I'll just read that last sentence again, because I'd love us to be able to say this. I run with passion into his abundance so that I may reach the purpose for which Christ Jesus laid hold of me to make me his own. Okay. Let's just pause for a moment. Can I ask that we just have a bit of quiet? Just to allow those of us who need a bit of space to process, and just to hear what God might be saying, and just to maybe just in our hearts say something to God that we want to say. And then we're going to take communion. I couldn't think of anything better to do, actually, as communion, as a way of saying, I want more of you, Jesus. That's what we're doing when we take communion. However strong or weak our faith is, if we have faith that says, I want more of you, that's all it takes. So if you are someone today who is saying, yeah, I'm struggling here, I'm struggling here, I'm struggling there, but I want more of you, come and receive communion. That's all. Communion is a level playing field. it's for all of us. So, and our children, that's why it's important. Our children are part of this. When we take the jigsaw pieces, it'll be in the last song, and I'll invite you to come out and pick up a jigsaw piece to take home, to say, just to consider before God, what does it mean for me to be part of the bigger picture. So two things, our commitment to Jesus, that's through communion. That's our response through communion. What it means to be part of this church is as we take the jigsaw piece and take that home. Is that okay? And our children and young people are coming in for that because we are a church family that does this together. Right, I said I'd be quiet. Let's be quiet for a moment. Holy Spirit, we thank you for the way that you speak to us. Thank you for your gentle way. But Lord, we also want to hear the challenge. We want to hear the invite into deeper relationship with you. And I pray for each one of us as we are open with what you're saying, and for each one of us, it'll be different things maybe that you're saying to us, different things that you're putting your finger on for us. Lord, I pray that as we hear you, we would respond. Show us what our next steps are, Lord. Jesus, we humbly ask that you would not leave us as we are. Help us to be a people that pursue you with passion. Jesus, for all that you did for us, the way that you made it possible for us to experience the fullness of life in you, Lord, we want to go with you to that place, even if that does mean, and when that does mean, going to the cross. Lord, would you give us the grace to be able to do that walk with you? I pray that for us as individuals. I pray that for us as a church. Lord, would you set our hearts on fire with love for you? So that we may become more like you, Jesus, and so that others may have the joy of knowing you too. We ask this in your precious name. Amen.